Good morning, Holland Zeelan. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Welcome to WHTC Money Matters. Today we're going to talk about identity theft, senior scams. However, I need to remind you this is a pre-recorded show for August 30th. We're off for the Labor Day weekend, so we're recording this early. So no market update this week, but we do have questions that people write in. So can you tell people how they can write in questions?
Oh, absolutely. There's several ways. They can write in, as you mentioned. They can call. I'm giving our phone number out.
You can do both.
You can do both. So they can call in to our office, which is 931-1223. That's 931-1223. Or go to email us at CooleyGodfrey@lpl.com. That's CooleyGodfrey@lpl.com. So, yeah, please get us to your questions. You can even call our office and we'll take the question for the air the next week. Or if you don't want to have your question there and you just want to ask us a question, please call. We're always going to answer that for you and get back to you.
And, you know, we get most of our questions from customers like yourselves who are listening out there, people who've listened for a long time, and they call in and say, you know, I heard you guys said this on the show. What does that mean? And we're always available to call you back or wait online, and we'll pick up your call. But most of our questions do come from people who listen to the show.
Yeah. Well, let's roll with it here. We have our first question. And Jan writes in, what's the difference between ordinary dividends and qualified dividends? My 1099 dividend statements were marked by the companies as both.
Well, you know, that was actually a question that, you know, I had today in the office. So, you know, people wanted to know what we get on 1099. So I went through 1099 DIV, that's dividends, which we'll talk about, 1099 INT, that's interest, 1099, which we get from qualified plans.
Which is 1099-R.
1099-R. So that usually makes up the most of the 1099. So qualified dividends are, you know, a subset of ordinary dividends. Qualified dividends are ordinary dividends paid out for the profits of the company. Of course, that makes sense. Qualified dividends are subject to the same tax that applies to the net capital gains. Qualified dividends are reported on if you look at your, if you pull out old 1099, it's 9B of your Form 1040. The tax instruction booklet contains a worksheet on qualified dividends and capital gains, which you compute. But qualified dividends are ones that are signified again on 9B.
Yep, and they're basically dividends on, you know, qualified dividends are ordinary dividends paid out on the profits of that company.
Yep.
Yeah, plain and simple. Which means the company's making money, you're making money. Yes, you need to pay tax on that, but when you have to pay tax, that means you are making money.
So here's another question that we had today. So tell me about how I'm taxed. Well, first of all, let's talk about capital gains, losses, property. And so I had a retiree today. I don't know, she was like 82. And I said, well, first of all, you're taking RMDs. That's all taxable. Nothing off your Roth. That's non-taxable when you do take money off your Roth. And then we talked about capital gains. I said, okay, if you hold it for a year, capital gains are long-term. And that typically means people in the 15% tax bracket long-term. If you're under a year, capital gains are short-term. That's a regular income rate. And and then, you know, she didn't really understand what that means is if you buy a stock today, hold it next year until the 23rd, that would be a year plus a day, that's a year, then that would be long-term capital gains. So sometimes your mutual funds give off capital gains during the year, usually at the end of the year, and those are taxed, depends on how they're taxed, long-term or short, and it will stay on your statement, long-term or short-term. So when you get that 1099, it'll tell you long-term or short-term.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the difference there. And then her daughter came with her today, and I said, you know, mom has a lot of money, and when she dies, you're going to get all this appreciation. You're going to get a step up in value. So mom or dad die. They've had this stock for a long time. We talked about Huntington stock they had since, I don't know, the mid-80s. Bought it very low, you know, very low cost basis. We're not selling any of it. Mom doesn't need the money. And there's another couple other stocks, Consumers Energy, AT&T stocks. But I said, you're going to get really free. You're going to get free. And then they talked about the house they have in Florida. You know, they bought it really low, 40 years ago.
So now you're talking about the land and property.
And you're still talking about land and property, but it's still capital gains. But when mom dies, you're going to get this at a new cost basis, which is the cost basis that it's valued at today. So, you know, you might want to go out there and get a property appraisal on this piece of property around the time mom dies and say, what's it worth? Mm-hmm. You sell it above that, you got to pay gains. Sell it below that, you get a loss.
Yeah, and you know, it usually people go from the date, the valuation on the date that the
death. Yeah, dead. But sometimes when it's a house,
exactly,
you got to get a valuation.
Yep.
And then you might want to get two property appraisers to come in. And you know, property doesn't fluctuate like stock. I know it fluctuates, but you can't get what was the closing value of the house on that day. You're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take a look at similar properties on the block, whatever. That's, you know, what real estate people do.
Well, and it can go up to 6 months after that. They can get a fair market valuation on it. So, hey, it's a great way, you know, instead of... Now, Jack, let's talk about if mom, still living, gives that stock to the daughter, does the daughter get a stepped-up in basis?
No, no. She gets it for what mom or dad paid for it. That's it.
The daughter inherits the cost that it was bought at.
However, let's talk about you should be giving that stock away to a philanthropic organization, a church, whatever. Give it in kind, and then you don't pay the capital gains on it.
Well, that's a beautiful
thing.
We
always encourage people, do not put cash in the collection plate on Sunday. Give away highly appreciated stock, mutual funds, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll transfer it to the church. They sell it. No taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're not talking about IRAs because that law hasn't been passed for 2014 yet.
We're talking about stocks that have appreciated.
Stocks in appreciated in a trust or brokerage account.
Okay. Great, great question here. Let's go to the next one. I had some stock in a company which was purchased by another company. Our old shares were replaced with shares in the new company. What is the cost basis and holding period for the new shares? That's a great question because that's happened a lot over
history.
Yeah, over the history of the market. But
well, really, the cost basis remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
What you paid is the same as what you got. So if it went to the new stock and you got X number of their shares or how it's combined, whatever you've got, let's just say you started off with 5 shares of a company and now it's the new company with 10 shares, it's still what you paid for the old company of 5 shares.
Mm-hmm.
It's still your shares have increased, so now you have a different share price,
mm-hmm.
but it's still the same cost basis. So, you know, whether you've got... one bag of sugar you paid for a buck. Now you got 2 bags of sugar. You still paid a buck for those 2 bags. Still the same. So now each bag's worth 50 cents. That's how you got to look at it. So don't look at it confusing-wise. What did I pay? How many shares have I got on the new company? That's your cost basis.
Yep. Yep. And
pretty easy to do.
And the holding period is from the date that you originally bought the original stock,
yes.
Not from where it merged or was that you got the new shares.
Well, what does complicate that is people then pay, and then what happens to our capital gains, if there is some? It's going to be long-term because you've held it for long-term, I would assume. And then dividends, you have to back out because dividends you've already paid tax on. You pay dividend cash or you pay for your taxes every year on the dividend. So you really got to back the dividend price out. So, you know, last one, must I pay taxes on U.S. savings bonds or stock that inherited from a parent when I redeem? We've already talked about that. You get a step up in basis. And when we talk about savings bonds, you can go to a savings bond website and you can key in your savings bond number and it's going to tell you whether that savings bond is making any more interest or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or take it to your local bank, underlying bank, and they'll tell you. But you can look it up yourself. If you have the internet, go to the library, wherever you have internet at, and just type in U.S. savings bond, and it'll come up with a spot there. Look it up on Google. And
you type in that serial number of that bond.
Serial number, and it'll tell you what it's worth.
Exactly.
What it's worth.
Yeah, and so when you inherit even savings bonds, you're not required to pay... you know, gains on that when you receive them as part of an inheritance.
Nope, not at all.
However, you are liable for income tax on any gain if you sell any of the stock you inherited.
Right.
So that's a little difference between the two there. It's an important difference to know. So that's a great way. How do you, redeem those savings bonds? A lot of people have tried to come to us and redeem them. No, they need to be done through a bank.
Bank, yep, that's it.
And the bank will then... take those bonds, give you the money. End of the year, you're going to get a 1099 on this.
Yep.
A 1099 showing that you redeemed these bonds and you received cash for them.
So that is the Radio Soul questions, and we always encourage you to ask us questions. And these were half of these were questions that I had today before I came, and they were all good questions from a retired person, 82 years old, that really wanted to know how she was taxed. And you know, even though I've had her account for a long time, she just wanted to know how she pays tax, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Good questions.
Yeah, a lot of good questions here.
Yep.
So, listeners, if you have a question, hey, get a hold of us. Call us at our office, 931-1223, or you can email us at coolygodfrey@lpl.com. That's K-O-E-L-E-G-O-D-F-R-E-Y @lpl.com.
And you know, it's when you call in with these questions, it really strikes a conversation which leads to a lot of things about your account, about more questions, about your returns. And after the break, Carrie, I'll tell you a good story about somebody I just met with who has been at Royal Park for a long time, and I reviewed her account, and I'll talk about that after we take a break.
Yeah, that sounds good. Listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Carrie Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Today's show, we're going to talk about identity theft, senior scams, a lot of different things that are happening right now. Which is really interesting. A lot of interesting stuff going on, scams. But, you know, I reviewed with a customer this week, 94 years old, had her account for four years. She started with $90,000. We have sent to her $37,000, and her account now is $81,000. Which she has earned a little bit more than 8% per year during that time frame. And she was just wanting to know about her account. I said, you know, we're sending you more than the account generates, so you got to have some lowering of your value of your portfolio. Now, she's all in income, but it gives you a perspective of what we try to do is in 4 years, she gave us 90, it's now 81,000, so she's down 9,000, but we've given her back 37,000. And she was just amazed.
And sometimes you have to take a look at the numbers that they've actually received over time. You just can't look at the bottom line figure and say, oh, it's down. Well, hold it. It's down a little bit, but how much have you actually taken out over the years?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So it was a good story. Hey, so we're going to talk about scams. A lot of scams going on.
A lot. And a lot of these have been around for years, and they get recreated, come out in a different way, but they end up to be some of the same scams that are out there. But these are things that no matter your age, you need to look out for these things. And I know some of the scams out there are targeted to seniors,
yep.
But there's scams out there, and you know, the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
But, so, you know, it's amazing. So we're all playing golf. I play golf on Tuesday night at the Links in Allegan, Otsego area. And My partner gets a call. It's from American Airlines. Picks it up, and he said, well, did you authorize, and they gave a name, $1,120 to be buying a ticket to Belize? And Josh goes, no. Well, the ticket was just purchased an hour ago with your name on it. Do you authorize this person? He goes, no. So this person was flying to Belize, got his credit card somehow, and American Airlines was calling him. So he immediately called the credit card company, canceled the card, and he looked at every other transaction. No other transaction had been through. This transaction that was charged on his card was pending, so they reversed that one. But it was just interesting that how did American Airlines get his cell phone number? He doesn't even remember ever flying American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of good stuff going on, but he got scammed. $1,120.
Does he have any idea where?
He has no idea. You know, they just came back from a couple of days on a trip. I don't know if it was at a restaurant. His wife buys a lot of stuff online. You know, a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ways. I had a customer years ago that paid their gas bill to Detroit Edison.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the routing and transit, and they're counting off their check, and they were hitting numbers. Because, you know, sometimes you can buy stuff. Just give me your routing and transit number and your checking account number, and we'll just bill it through there. They had thousands of dollars that somebody scammed at Detroit Edison. They tracked it back there and found the person who did it.
Wow.
That's
wow.
A scam. I mean, yeah. It's just real-life scams that happen.
Well, I like the one, and maybe you can share this now or later, with the one that happened with your daughter, with the bank.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, you know, we'll go through that scam. So my daughter is at Lifetime Fitness in Rochester Hills, and she gets her purse stolen. So in a hurry, she's got two kids, got the twins. She goes in there, leaves her purse right on the seat, and she comes back out with the twins. She's exercising. The twins are at the play center there. And it comes out, the window's broken. Window's broken and two or three cars run. Her purse is gone. Oh, geez, my purse is gone. So she immediately calls a bank and says, my purse has been stolen, cancel my account, whatever. And so within 2 weeks, there's been $10,000 drained out of her account.
And she's already contacted the bank.
And then they said, well, we'll keep it open, but we'll just, when you come in, just give us a password. So meanwhile, these people went to three different banks, got out $10,000, didn't have to provide the password, which she asked to be provided, was on their account, and they gave them $10,000. So here's how they do it. They deposit, say, $5,000 in with checks, bogus checks. And then they want to take out $3,000. Well, they look at their account, in their checking account, they only got it $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this makes sense. They got plenty. We're making deposit. This must be the real person. Not really taking out money, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
Got away with $10,000.
Wow.
So then she goes back like a month later and with my wife to close her account. Why are you closing your account? Well, and the branch manager at this bank never even heard this went on. And the branch manager had no clue that this happened to her.
Wow. That's.
And she said, did you fire this person who gave out my money without the password? No, did that really happen? I mean, it's just amazing how some of these people do scams.
Now, did they ever catch the people?
No, never. They go, first of all, it was a different colored person that this created this. My daughter's blonde. If you would look out the window, you could see that this person is not my daughter.
Wow.
That was just amazing, but that's another scam. So you have to really watch out with scams.
Here's one, too, that happens often. Listeners, you know, if you have important documents at home, just don't throw them in the trash. That'd be credit card statements, bank statements. That has a lot of your personal information on. People out there go dumpster diving. And they go dumpster diving looking specifically for these things that haven't been shredded or torn up or just destroyed. So when you have statements like old tax returns, your credit card statements, get them shredded. Have a little shredder at home, shred them, or we provide to our customers a shredding service. If you're a customer of ours and you have a whole bunch of stuff to shred, drop it off. We'll get it shredded for you. We get it stamped that it's all been destroyed. But there's a lot of things of, list of names, birth dates, social security numbers. A lot of that stuff shows up and you can find in different ways. And good criminals can piece this information together and find out what they need to open a credit card in your name. So just be careful of those documents and shred them.
Now here's some other scams. Your mail. It just happened last week in Grand Rapids that there was somebody driving through the neighborhood opening up mailboxes and shutting them back up. And so here's what happens with mail. One of two things happen is they will change your address. They'll go to the post office, and the post office doesn't know who you are today. I mean, the people where I live in Allegan, I think I might know one person. So if I go in there with change of address, they just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is they're going to go to your mailbox and take maybe one piece out a month. They'll go through it. And people usually know credit card statements come at the end of the month. They typically come near the last week of the month. And or Social Security deposits, they used to always come the first week. So, maybe they'll only just take out one piece. And it's like, why? Well, shouldn't that have showed up? That doesn't make any sense. So they'll potentially either change your address, reroute the mail, or pick out of your mail one or two pieces a month.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful. That's true on outgoing mail, too. If you live in the country and put outgoing mail in your mailbox, these people that scam you will come along and take that piece out and could take the check out of there and do what they call check washing. And they could write a new check out for a lot different amount. But they've copied the old check, washed it, and then they have a copy of that and they can fill it out with your signature again. So those are things that happen. One of the things that we see happen out there and we hear a lot about, you hear about credit card scams using other people's credit cards and identity theft. These are two different things. Identity theft is somebody taking your identity and claiming that they are you. And that's something you need to watch out for. But on the other hand, credit card stuff and getting money, stealing money through the credit card is another type, but it's not identity theft. But you should have protection for both. Now,
I mean, the credit card scam happened to me. I went to our local barber, and I usually always use a debit card. He goes, "Your debit card's declined." I go, "It's not declined. I got $12,000 in there." He goes, "It's declined, Jack." I'm thinking, "Well, what they have to my account?" So I call up the bank, and they go, "Oh, yeah, we were supposed to call you today. Your credit card was compromised at Target. We're very sorry. You know, it takes 10 days to get you a new debit card." I go, "Well, thanks for letting me be embarrassed in front of my barber." But they compromised your card. Potentially compromised your card. So my card wasn't compromised, but their system was compromised, mm-hmm. which means it could be your information. And they probably did get my information, just, you know, credit card was switched.
Yeah. Well, and that happened recently with another large company out there, too. So, you know, criminals out there are breaking into computer systems and looking specifically for this information, name, address, social security numbers, birth dates, credit card information. And that's why even when the credit card thing happened with Target, you know, Target reached out and contacted our credit card company and said, "Hey, name's been compromised." And so right away, we got a call from the credit card company saying, "Hey, we're closing this. We're sending you new stuff out. We want you to be aware of this." So they were very quick to resolve the issue, and they were very quick to get the situation taken care of. And they put identity protection out there for us for, I think, up to a year. We have a lot more to cover, Jack, on this whole top financial scams, but we're going to take a short break here, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey will be right back with WHTC Money Matters.
All right. Welcome back, listeners. Thanks for staying tuned to WHTC Money Matters. Today, we are talking about identity theft and some of the scams that are happening out there. And we've covered a few of them, Jack, but let's roll into a few more that are happening out there and that people need to be aware of.
Well, we covered dumpster diving, we covered risky mailboxes, we've talked about credit cards, and really you should know from your credit card company what to expect. I like to use American Express because they are no-nonsense. Anything happens, they're just all over it. But they're expensive. You know, get an annual fee of probably $90. I get good points, airline miles, whatever it is, a hotel information, but you should know. Call Visa, call MasterCard, whoever is your credit card provider, and say, "You know, if my card gets stolen, am I liable?"
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to know. I just know that every time I use my card, I get an email that says, we'll buy tickets online at StubHub. Go to a sporting event. Well, I just give my credit. Well, actually, I have a sign on with StubHub, but some places I just give out the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I got an account with Ticketmaster or StubHub, but sometimes the first time it's you're calling them potentially. Or if you're out of town, don't know your password, you got to call Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And you're giving your card out. What's your liability? I think everybody needs to know their liability.
Well, and you know, not only knowing your liability, but that reminds me too, we always tell our clients and our listeners, check your credit report, because things can show up on there that may not be right, or something's being used that you weren't aware of. There's a lot of those things that are good out there to get after. Now, here's an important one that some people just don't think of. Think of vacation, going on vacation. You know, a lot of times if you live in a neighborhood, you can have the neighbors watch the house, you can have the neighbor boy or girl, you know, mow the lawn and things, care of that. You know, like where we live a little bit out in the country, we have somebody that house sits for us and takes care of things, have a security system, and we have the lawn mowed. So it's always like somebody's home, and somebody is watching the place. Somebody's always there and picking up our mail. So those are little things to deter theft that may happen from stealing stuff out of mailboxes, breaking into your home. Those are all little things that you can do to keep yourself safe.
And security systems in today's age are not that expensive. We have a security on our house, and it just so happens the last two vacations we were on, we get a call from the security says, "We have a compromise of window number 7. Well, we're not home. You got to send the police. So they sent the police. I mean, that's a nice thing. Mm-hmm. As soon as, you know, so what happens, we have security on every door. We have security on every window. As soon as that gets moved or door opens, the alarms are just deafening loud. And the security company, we actually have a cell phone in our attic that it calls the company, which then calls us to say, what's going on? I mean, sometimes I screw up and just walk out the door when we get the alarms on and the alarms go off.
Mm-hmm.
And they call me within less than 10 seconds. They call
They call to make sure, is it you?
I give them the code. You know, here's the security code. I identify who I am, give them the security code. But, you know, they're not that expensive today to have that done. You know, it's a little bit less expensive if you are building a new house and you get to run all the wires up to the security system itself. But, you know, people out there, and we do not have cameras yet, but we will have cameras someday from, you know, we live out in the country as well. And we've had a number of things stolen from our old tool shed before we knocked that down. If we had security cameras, we could have caught them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's you know, you got to think about what's good for you, but a security system is maybe potentially good for you. Maybe security cameras are really cheap today, and they can actually go right to your phone.
Yeah, they can. You can remote in and check things out. You can even go as far as if you have all the stuff, lock your doors, turn water off. They can do all that. Yeah. It gets, you know, you can go as expensive and elaborate as you want to go.
Yeah, I have a customer in Minnesota. You know, he's in the business, so he has it set up where anytime somebody comes to the door, if you're watching TV, can't hear it, the TV just shuts down and it shows the person on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I don't know how it works. I mean, it's abracadabra, far as I know, but it just brings it up.
Yeah.
And if not, then there is one main one in the house that will just come on. You know, the TV will actually automatically start and show that person at the front door.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. Again, it's abracadabra. I don't know how it works, but it's a pretty cool system.
Yeah. So talking about vacation, other things you want to be careful while on vacation. If you have a laptop computer and you're in a hotel or other area where it has wireless internet and it's an unsecured internet, you have to be careful, because if you're working and buying, let's say, tickets on StubHub and you're entering your credit card name and you're on an unsecured network and somebody taps into your computer, sometimes they can pull that information without you even knowing it, and all of a sudden you have somebody using your credit card information. So definitely those are little things that you want to be on a secured network when giving out personal or confidential information such as credit cards, Social Security. And here's another important thing, Jack. If a bank is calling you and saying, hey, we're verifying some stuff, what's your credit card number? A bank's never going to do that. You don't give that out.
No, but we always go, we're gone any period of time, we always call the credit card company and tell them we are going to be out of town. Here's the places that we're going. We only use one credit card when we're gone, and this is what's going to happen. And they appreciate that, except we were gone this past time to California for a week, which is last week. The credit card called my wife and said, there's a large charge on your credit card. My wife said, I already called you and told you. Oh, yeah, we see that in the file. We're sorry. So they did have it. They just didn't look at it. But they did call us and say there was a charge, which was pretty nice. We think it's been compromised. She said, no, it hasn't. So, you know, we always call on the back of your credit card is an 800 number. Call them and tell them you're going to be out of town X number of days, and we're going to travel to these cities. So if there's charges, it's going to show up in the city. Now, if you buy something when you're gone, it could say, well, the home office of this company is in a different state. Well, then they're going to probably call you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, call, and we always have copies of our credit card at home, and we also keep it in our luggage.
Yeah, and that's a good idea, because here's a good example. My in-laws, when they were in Phoenix, which they go for the winter, they were at church Sunday, the vehicle was there, and my mother-in-law left her purse, just like your daughter did, left her purse in there. And my mother-in-law carries not only her credit cards, but keeps her medical card in there, plus her Social Security card. So the windows were broken, and they stole the vehicle, and they took the purse. So it was not a good day. But here's how it worked. Here's the good thing. My father-in-law turned around and called Kim and I right away, which we had copies of all their credit card information, and we could quickly call all the credit card companies and stop any payments. But within that short half hour, there was like four charges already on the card, but that's how quickly they operate. The other thing with the vehicle was stripped down, pieced out, sold off, old wheels, was used to transport drugs to and from Mexico. They figure about two or three times, maybe even being a mule, hauling people. But definitely when they went through it and dogs went through it, they found cocaine. Hmm. You know, so the vehicle, needless to say, was totaled out, but we were quick to solve the problem because we had copies of the credit card.
Yeah.
So
another thing happened. So when my partner's credit card got compromised at golf this week, and the other people that were playing said, you know, I lost my wallet, and my credit card, as soon as they discovered their wallet was gone, their credit card had been compromised at Speedway. $1,100 worth of gift cards.
At Speedway?
Yeah, because gift cards you can resell.
Okay.
So it lessens the trackability of what happens. And so they go to Speedway and say, didn't you ever ask for ID? No, we have people do this all the time. They're probably all stolen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just what, I mean, they buy credit cards with stolen identities.
Wow.
And I never knew that before. Yeah. I never knew. But credit cards you can sell and make cash.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. But I never thought of it.
Well, you know, just this past trip that our family took to D.C., I either dropped or lost my phone and a taxi cab. And right away we got on the site and I have location, but we couldn't find it. And so we figured it had been turned off, but we were able to blow the phone up, meaning literally, remotely, we were able to erase all the information, contacted Verizon. They said, okay, we have the serial number. We'll put it, that phone will never be used again with any network. But where it can be used, and I learned this, is that if somebody just wants to have an iPhone and connect into the internet, they can still do that. Or here's another thing that happens. Somebody has an iPhone, puts it on Craigslist or on eBay and sells it. You know, so saying it's a good phone, the phone comes, it's been paid for, phone doesn't work, and somebody's made money off of you. So
did you ever find that phone?
Nope, never did.
Well,
so got it replaced and nothing. I've been watching my credit cards and everything else because I didn't have any of that information on there, but just in case something would show up, I'm just watching that closely.
Interesting. Here's some ways to protect yourself against identity theft. But we're going to continue that after we take a break, Harry.
Sounds good. Listeners, you've been listening to WHTC Money Matters. We'll be right back. Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Thanks for staying tuned. We're talking today about identity theft scams that are out there. We've talked a little bit about, you know, credit card scams. We're going to talk now, before the break, we mentioned protect yourself against ways to protect yourself against identity theft. And Jack, why don't you roll with a couple of the first ones here that we see happening out there to people day in, day out?
Well, I mean, day in and day out. I mean, are you talking about the typical thing that happens?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the typical thing that happens is, one, you lose your purse or you lose your pocketbook.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing that happens. The number two thing is you do crazy stuff. Crazy stuff means you charge something where you shouldn't be charging something, meaning you're in a foreign country and you give them your credit card. They go in the back and potentially swipe your number.
Mm-hmm.
You are not informing your credit card company that you are going out of town and you lose it. You don't have the credit card. You don't have a number. You don't know how to contact them. And you didn't make copies of your credit card. That's another crazy thing that you should do before you go anyplace, is always have a backup of your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I would say most people do not have a backup of their credit card company. So something
happens,
you're frantic.
Mm-hmm.
And the way things are today, you should have a backup of your credit card.
Absolutely.
Quickly get to it.
And have a copy of that stuff, not only at home, but a copy with somebody.
With somebody else. Yeah, we always give it to our daughter. We give her a copy of her passport. Because, you know, if you lose your passport, you're not getting out of the country.
You're staying there.
So a copy helps. But always get a copy of a credit card and leave it with the person who is responsible for your stuff.
I like some of these ideas. When you leave home, don't leave home with this stuff. Don't leave home with a checkbook when you go on vacation. Don't take all your credit cards. Take one or two of your credit cards. Debit card, usually not a good thing to take on a vacation. A credit card is usually a lot better because if there's a charge that gets rung up, you can call and deny it, or something happens to the item that you've purchased, and you get crazy things like that. And how about phone cards? Phone cards have the passwords and numbers right on them. Don't take them with you because somebody else can use them. Those are just some things that you don't want to carry all this extra stuff along with you on vacation. Limit what you take.
And you should be, if you're traveling and you have, everybody has an iPhone, and not everybody, many people have iPhones, they have iPods, iPads. You should be looking at your account maybe a couple times when you're on vacation just to make sure that all the transactions are legitimate. Most people take today their computers on vacation.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I don't. I have my iPhone, but I don't look at it because I don't really have our account numbers that we can get into on the iPhone, and I don't have email on my iPhone. So I'll usually take the iPad, which is usually locked up in a hotel safe, and I'll check our accounts that way.
Mm-hmm. Good way to check that.
Well, it is a good way. And then when you get home, make sure you look line by line on your credit card statement for things that you don't understand. So when you charge stuff, keep it by day. Here's Monday's credit card receipts. Here's Tuesday's credit card's receipt. Put some type of paper clip on it. So when you get back, it's easy to go back and look at, because most people can look at your credit card statements online, what those charges are, any day of the week. So, it's like looking at your bank account. We try to use the credit card for most things, and then we just pay it off at the end of the month, which is, gives us a lot of bonus points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I suggest you do.
Well, and talking about computer, and when you're gone on vacation, don't input your personal information on that computer anywhere with a lot of detailed stuff. Install firewalls, which is usually done when you're, purchasing a computer. You install that software right along with it. Change the passwords often, and then open up emails from people you don't know. Don't open them. Don't open those emails from people you're not sure of or unknown, because there's a lot of scams out there. I remember just this last week I got an email that looked like it was from one of our financial providers, and then when I read where it came from, it came from some place in Africa. And so I didn't open it. I deleted it. I actually reached out to the company that they were portraying themselves to be, and then I got an email a little bit later from the actual company saying this is a scam. These emails are going out by mistake or as a scam. Do not respond to them. So the company was very quickly to respond and shut that down.
Interesting. So we can quickly go through the top scams for 2014. Carrie, we got about 5 minutes left on our show, and today we're talking about identity theft, and this show is going to be broadcast on the 30th of August. That would be Labor Day weekend, and Carrie and I are both gone. So top advertising scam is fake websites looking like Google, looking like Yelp, looking like somebody else, wanting you to give feedback or somehow get your identity. And they look just like it. I had a call from American Express saying, we saw somebody with their exact logo, our exact stuff, wanting you to verify your account because there had been a scam on your account. Well, the scam was trying to get the scam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was unbelievable. So that's the number one advertising scam.
Well, here's the top love scam. A romance scam in which the fraudster pretends to be someone they are not on an online dating or social media website for the purchase of taking money or personal information from their targets. So that's another area you have to be very careful out in.
Well, speaking of the Nigerian cam, that's the next scam. Nigerian cam is an old way. Hey, you've just got this kind of money. You just need to send us a couple, $200-$300 or maybe $1,000, and you've won this $100,000, $200,000. That's all you need to do for an older person. They fall for that continuously. It's the oldest scam in the book. It either comes by letter or by email. You've won. Your number's been picked. Whatever it is. That's the number one online scam.
That reminds me of another scam out there that you see a lot of is the affinity fraud. It happens where you're least expected, right in your own community, that this happens a lot of times with people you know and trust, colleagues. The fraudster's business is actually lying to people to gain their trust and steal their money. So they look for opportunity among people who expect the best of each other because of common language, faith, interest, neighborhoods. You know, we've even had people try and come into our office that have pictured themselves as part of the community, kids go to the school, and, you know, was looking at opening accounts, saying he had another large account to transfer here. And we actually did some research on it, and we found out that he was actually had warrants out there. So this crazy things that you have to be aware of. Sometimes if you don't know this person, but they're pretending to be part of the community, just you have to be careful.
Well, you know, let's go back to what affinity means. Affinity means you have a relationship with this person. Typically, it's you know them or know of them because of friends, association. That's affinity. Bernie Madoff had a great affinity with the Jewish people across America. A lot of these affinities are with people at church. Believe it or not, church is a big affinity group. How would you, you know, take God when you're coming there to worship and a friend is there you think is a friend who is actually a scam? That's affinity. True definition of affinity. And here's one that I haven't heard of, Kerry. Junk cars.
I know.
So this is one here, top number five, and where it talks about get your junk car. They actually fix them up and resell them.
Yeah, they're unlicensed dealers. They get junk cars and they sell them from parking lots, and they advertise through local paper and online ads. They're called curbers. And they do not disclose the vehicle's history to the buyer, often hidden a lien, accident damage, and other things. Sometimes the odometers turn back. And how do you spot them? They have the same phone number listed for many cars and ask, which car, when you call. So that's interesting. That's a curber.
Yeah, no, that's it. Here's another one. Top telemarketing scam is you may receive a call that your computer security has been compromised and they would be glad to help you. And or that your grandchild is in jail. I mean, there's been a few people that have told me that, and they've helped them out. But, you know, if somebody, they call you and say your grandson's in jail or your son's in jail, what's their name? What's their birth date? Can they tell you what their Social Security number is? They'll just hang up.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just hang up.
Yeah. Well, here's even one on youth. You know, you use the, you know, social media app called Instagram, and what they do is they go through this way, and they portray themselves as, you know, they post pictures of prizes that they want to give away, and they're, you know, picture themselves as retailers, and they direct you to another website wanting to get this personal information, credit card information. So that's another way.
Kerry, we're coming to the end of our show. So, hey, listeners, we've had a great show today. We're talking about identity theft, senior scams. Don't let people compromise your identity. The identity you have, the most important thing is your Social Security number, your birth date, where you live, your credit card numbers, your driver's license numbers. Those are all things that you have to be careful of what you do with it. Also, of course, would be your passport. Lots of people in foreign countries want your passports.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And you have to be careful of that.
Yep.
Hey, next week, Jack and listeners, we're going to be talking about building wealth, how to do this over time. And we're going to share with you some great ideas where you can set some, you know, goals, and we can help you talk about building your wealth. So, listeners, thanks for listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Have a great Labor Day weekend.